Genesis 37. Actually, before I go there, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you want to title my sermon, it would be Be Ye Separate and Touch Not the Unclean Thing. In verse 14 of chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There is a principle that is taught through the Bible. Old Testament, this is one of those threads. You remember, I like to speak about I call them divine threads woven throughout Scripture. This is my term. I don't know what you want to call them. You could call them patterns of prophecy, or you could call them whatever. They are woven throughout Scripture and produce a wonderful mosaic, a picture of what we need to follow. And one of those principles is that you must be separated from the world. You find it in the story of Abraham and Lot. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Sodom was an evil, wicked city filled with homosexual gangs. We find that creeping into our civilization, don't we? And it's not just homosexuality today. It is all kinds of LGBTQ whatever gender, all kinds of transgender ideas. Where do they come from? They come from Satan himself. Doctrines of devils. I'd like to ask these people, where do you think you're going to end up? Some of them might listen to this later, and who knows, I might get into trouble for saying this. Where do you think this lifestyle will end up? You're teaching children to mutilate themselves, giving them the right to do it outside of parental consent. And this is not everywhere, but it's starting to creep in, justifying the mutilation of children. Oh, I want to be a girl, or I want to be a boy. And so you're cutting off parts of your body just to try and be that. These poor children. This is absolutely criminal. It's insane. Where does it come from? It comes from the dark regions of hell itself. From a mind that is so twisted and malicious, Satan himself. And he tells his devils to go plant these things into the minds of people, especially the higher halls of learning. And let's endorse it with Hollywood. And they get all these supposedly important people saying this is normal. You know what that is called? This is the same thing that Adam performed in the Garden of Eden. That he shall not surely die. He starts with a direct contradiction to the truth. And he says, and it's called gaslighting, actually. He comes across so vociferous and boisterous as if you're crazy to believe this old book. We have a new way of thinking here, a new morality. And if you are not strong in the Word of God and in the foundation of Genesis and how God created everything, you will start even doubting yourself, your own reality. Well, maybe this is true. Maybe they are born that way. No. The Bible has the answer for all of our whimsical thinking. And he made them male and female. In the image of God made he them. There's only two genders. But you need to be so careful. If you are always looking into the world, like Abraham and Lot, remember Abraham and Lot? It comes to the point, their herdsmen are arguing and fighting among themselves, and Abraham says, we need to separate ourselves. This is, I think, Genesis chapter 12. Okay, Lot, you pick that side, I'll go this way. Abraham sees, I have to separate myself from him. Why? Because Lot's heart was in Sodom. Lot's heart was okay with all this evil that he was seeing in Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose the plain of Jordan, and it was where Sodom was. It says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's always closer and closer. To the end, he's actually in Sodom itself, living there. He's sitting in the gates with the elders. He's totally okay with it. All this blasphemy that, and he's so lukewarm, he doesn't even realize the danger that he's in. And friends, we are living in those times. And we will live through them. Where you will have to separate yourselves like Abraham did. See, if you don't separate yourself, you're gonna be like Lot. Okay, well, it's okay. Oh, they can do what they want. And you just overlook it. But in the end, you will suffer for it. And you will be just like Lot. You will lose your wife. You will lose your all your stuff. He had lots of stuff. He had lots of money. He had lots of herds. He lost everything except his two daughters. And what did he do with them? He started the race of the Ammonites and what's the other one? The Moabites. I believe. His daughters get him drunk and they get him to impregnate them. And he's the father of Moab and Ammonites. And these were a perpetual thorn in the flesh of Israel for hundreds of years. That is the legacy of Lot. That is the legacy of a man who will not separate himself. In the end, he's drunk, he's living in a cave all by himself. Friend, that will be your lot. And even worse, because you will be caught up in the judgment of the unrighteous and taste the wrath of God's eternal fire. If we do not separate ourselves, my friend, it will cost us everything. You will lose everything. Now let's go to Joseph. Here again, just remember, this is a principle that we find throughout Scripture. You need to separate yourself. God, dealing with Israel, told them you cannot take wives from your neighbors, from the heathen. There was a reason for that. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 12, this is about Joseph. Joseph is a favored son of his father. He is the firstborn of Rachel, the sweetheart of Jacob. His father and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to them, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. And so he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And a man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Now here is a typical story where you find Christ represented. You find him represented in the life of Joseph. Joseph is the favorite son. You can find almost 100 comparable parallels from Joseph to Jesus. See, this is another verification of God's word. How could that be? You find 100 different ways, almost 100 different ways, of comparing the life of Joseph. This is probably, when would it have been? 1400 years before Christ. And he represents Christ. The Hebrew scholars today actually are looking or saying that Messiah will be in the form of HaMashiach ben Joseph. He will be like Joseph, but he will also be like David. And so how they did not see Christ is incredible, but I think there's a reason. And Joseph is told by his father. And his father is dwelling in the vale of Hebron, verse 14. He's told, or sent, actually, this is one of the parallels to Christ. His father sends him. And his son is willing to go. Here am I, then I'll go. Yeah, I'll do it. And so Joseph goes to find his brothers. And they're supposed to be at Shechem. He doesn't find them there. And he's asking around, he's wandering around, and finally he asks this one man, "Do you know where my brothers are?" "Yeah, I heard them say they were going to go into Dothan." And here we find the wonders of the Hebrew language. Hebron is a place of communion, of fellowship with the Father. Isn't that interesting? So Jacob is close to Hebron, in the vale of Hebron. This is where Joseph has beautiful communion, fellowship with his father. His brothers, well, they're sent to do a job, but they don't seem like they care about their father. They would rather have their fun in the sun. They're not separating themselves. In fact, let's go to Dothan. I can just imagine this. Oh, that's a city. There's lots of bright lights. There's ladies. Let's go there. Dothan in Scripture is actually defined by two wells, a double cisterns. Is that actually the definition of Dothan? It has the Hebrew has a meaning to it. The name Dothan means laws and edicts, decrees, customs. It also means two wells, two cisterns. Exact picture of those who are in such religious bondage that they don't want to separate themselves from the world. They'll go to church Sunday morning, ease your conscience a little bit, but their other foot is in the world, and they walk with the world. They don't separate themselves. And so Joseph is sent to these wandering brothers. Joseph went after his brothers, and he found them in Dothan. He doesn't stop seeking them. Same as Christ right there. There's that other parallel. Another parallel. He seeks them till he finds them. And these brothers actually conspire together to slay him. There's another one. Here, they hated me without a cause, Jesus said. Exactly the same as Joseph. So this is what happens when you don't separate yourself from the world. You will start looking at someone who's living a righteous, true life in Christ, and you will start picking at them. You will have a problem with them. I just think they're so good. We've seen it so often. People leave church. No, that's a bunch of hypocrites. That's an excuse so that they can go out into the world and enjoy themselves. That's all it is. And each one of us needs to look at our own lives. Like, am I separating myself from ungodly things? Am I looking into the world too much? See, we can get caught up in soaking up, instead of the Word of God, we soak up the things of the world. Where do we find ourselves? We find ourselves in Dothan, far away from the Father. And Joseph finds him. Dothan was on the road to Egypt. On the high road to Egypt. This is on the broad road. Friends, there are Christians like this. There might be someone here like that. Jesus talked about two roads. One is the broad road of destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. See, out of all his brothers, there's only Benjamin back home probably, but all his brothers are in Dothan on the road to Egypt. Egypt is the type of the world. So halfway to Egypt, you find his brothers. They're enjoying themselves at the lights of the city and all the movies and the ungodliness. They're just like Lot. Two wells, double-minded, trying to drink out of two cisterns. The Bible says, make up your mind who you want to serve. You can't serve two masters. Oh, it looks like kind of religious. You got all your customs and laws. This is what Dothan means, actually the Hebrew meaning. Customs, laws, edicts. Yeah, this is the Pharisees at the time of Jesus. It's repeated. And so this is the wonder of God's word. It's prophetic. There's far more prophetic in the God's word than you ever thought, right? Almost the whole life of Joseph is prophetic of Christ. The whole life of David is prophetic of Christ. You see Christ everywhere. Not even just in the Hebrew language and in all the letters, but in the lives of these patriarchs and prophets. You see him in the tabernacle. You see him in the temple. He's everywhere. Once your eyes start seeing that, it's just incredible. He is the Son of God. He is the Word of God. And so what is something taking you away from the fellowship and communion of the Father? See, disobedience does that. We get lured into the world. We hear Satan, what do you think? You're following that old book? Well, we have a new morality today. You start listening to that, and you're going to find yourself on the road to Dothan. And you keep walking down that road, you're going to find yourself right in Dothan, and you will not be separated from the world. You will be in the world. The Bible speaks in 1 John chapter 2. Well-known verses. But we do well to consider them again. 1 John 2:15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now consider Joseph's brothers. Dothan represents loving the world as a Christian, trying to serve God in one hand and yet loving the world on the other. You know what the Bible says? If we love the world, if we become friends with the world, we become an enemy of God. God doesn't want you. Oh, he wants you saved, but if you make that decision to walk in the world and party with the world, God is not with you. Those are hard words. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is the same as Joseph's brothers. They didn't care about their father Jacob. They had their own life to live. They wanted to whoop it up, party it up. You're supposed to take care of the sheep, and you're in the city? What are you doing? They did not love their father. Because their eyes were blinded by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. These three things will bring you to hell, my friend. If you find yourself in Dothan, if you're on your way to Egypt, and you say you're a Christian, you might be fooling yourself. You probably are. And I tremble at the thought, but there are hundreds, probably thousands of people who are fooling themselves at thinking, I'm a Christian, and yet I can do all kinds of things that the world does. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Friend, the Bible teaches us we need to be like Abraham. We need to be like Joseph. We need to be separated from the world, or else we will be condemned with the world. Can you imagine standing on judgment day? It's just you by yourself. Lord, Lord, didn't I do all kinds of things for you? Didn't I go to church? Wasn't I baptized? I was baptized. And God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because you spent your time in the world. You loved the world, you didn't love God. Friends, there are going to be people like that. Incredible shock, the terror of knowing, I will not make it to heaven. Can you imagine the shock? You thought you were going to the right place, but you're not. Why will that happen? Because people are on the road to Dothan. They love the world. They have their eyes on all the pleasures and the bright lights and the casinos of the city and all the sin thereof. They're so comfortable sitting like Lot. They're sitting right in the middle of all that garbage. And they're okay with it. Friends, may we never get to that point where we are okay with sin. Because you know, we know, that God will judge sin, and that very harshly. You know, there's people that say, oh, how could God be? The God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. No, he's not. He judged and condemned with wrath the disobedience of the tribes that were in Canaan. They sinned till their cup was full. And God sent judgment. Destroyed them. And friends, I want to tell you this morning that the judgment that came upon the tribes in Canaan is very small compared to the judgment that will happen to those who find themselves in a place called hell. Who will forever experience the wrath of God upon unbelievers and those who are ungodly. The Bible tells us we are supposed to perfect holiness in the fear of God. I'll close with a few verses in 2 Thessalonians. Again, we see the difference between the righteous and the ungodly. 6, seeing it is a righteous thing, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all that believe, them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Friends, this is the end of those who will be like Lot and the brothers of Joseph if you do not repent. And he speaks about the Thessalonians that they would be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Friends, there is suffering involved in following Christ. This is another thread that goes right through Scripture. Remember all the prophets and the patriarchs. Every one of them suffered. We're supposed to, in order to know him and the power of his resurrection, you also have to know the fellowship of his sufferings. And we don't want to go there because we don't want to suffer. We don't want to even think of somebody suffering the wrath of God for having a sinful lifestyle, but we need to. And your heart needs to be burdened by the sin around you. Why? Because then you enter into some of the fellowship of his sufferings, the sufferings of Christ. You understand his mind a lot better. See, we Christians cannot just go through this life and think everything's okay. It's not. There's sin all around us. It needs to be actually a burden to our hearts that others around us are on that road of destruction. And if they do not repent. See, if you don't have that burden in your heart, you will never pray like you should. You will never try to be a light to others. You will just go on your merry way and try to dodge any criticism, any sarcasm. You won't do anything. But when you enter into the fellowship of his sufferings, then you start being ganz und dauntig. You don't care anymore about what happens to you, what people think about you. The real point is, this person is going to hell if he doesn't change. And in this world, we see so many on that road, willfully denying the fellowship of the Father, like those 10 brothers. But we also see, and this is what makes life worth living, we see all these people that are wanting to live right. They want to serve God. They want to please God. Surround yourself with people like that, my friend. That we would be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Friends, if you don't suffer, you're not really worthy of the kingdom of God. Joseph suffered. Jesus suffered. Everyone who separates themselves from the world is going to suffer. They're going to laugh at you. Oh, dumb. You believe that book? They'll laugh at you. But my friends, they will not get the last laugh. The last laugh will be laughed by God himself. And he will laugh at the calamity that will come upon them. Those who are disobedient. Those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 8, he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. These are those that are not Christians, but it's also these that say they know God, that obey not the gospel. They know the gospel, but they are disobedient. The Bible says they will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This will grind, maybe this is part of the reason why they gnash their teeth in hell, is because they know. Now, of course, it will be because of the pain, but the remorse. Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I obey when I had the chance? And now I'm separated from him, from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power. Friends, living the Christian life is an earnest, heartfelt thing. You cannot walk through this world just having no concern about anybody else. Just trying to live it up and enjoy all the pleasures of life. Now, there is that, but for the Christian, the real point is that we be counted worthy of the kingdom. And when you start seeing what is prophesied will happen to the unbelievers, it causes your heart to fear. There's this awesome, holy fear in you. I don't want to be in that group. And I'm afraid for others that might be in that group. No wonder Paul says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, friends, I want to close this with a positive note. We can be separated. This is what sanctification is. Sanctification comes from immersing yourself in the Word of God. That's the only way I know. You might try and do it out of your own strength and out of your own willpower, but you're going to fall flat in your face. There is power in the Word of God, far more than in all the atoms in your being, to perfect you and to sanctify you. But it is only done through the power of God's word and by his spirit. Through the word and by the spirit, right? It's the only way. And so it's my recommendation, my encouragement to you this morning is, if you want to be counted worthy of this calling, you need God to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness in you. The work of faith and power. It is possible. I know we need need to see both sides here. We see the disobedience of Joseph's brothers. We see the inclination of Lot's heart just toward the world, and we need to cut ourselves off from that. It is so easy to drift away from God, my friend. Especially today, with all that is going on around us and the ease of accessing what is worldly, it's so easy to drift away. And so I would encourage you, my friend, if you ever started down that road to Dothan, just stop it. Come back. We need to have this mindset, I would rather be by myself and all alone than to spend time with the ungodly in a bar, wherever. But we are not alone. Christ is with us, and then you come to church and find yourself some godly friends and fellowship with them. See, God can keep you. This life is filled with all kinds of dangers. And the road that we travel is going somewhere. There's many people in this culture today who think, oh yeah, it's all good, I'm going to heaven, I don't need to fear a thing. We need to have the fear of God in our hearts, because that will keep us on that narrow path, the path of life. See, that's where the fear of God brings wisdom. If you don't have that fear, you'll just keep telling yourself, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. And many people today are in hell because of that. They did not follow God's word explicitly, earnestly, with all your heart. That's what it means when it says love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And then you will definitely be on the right path. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word and your salvation, which we find in Christ. What a glorious thing, Lord, that we hold in our hands. The word of God, your will in the last testament. Lord, our hearts are burdened by many who are not walking with you, and Lord, may you lay that burden on us to pray for our fellow neighbors, brothers, uncles, sisters. Lord, give us a vision of the eternal. Lord, we would be afraid of the judgment to come for those who are not walking in obedience, even for ourselves. Lord, keep us on the straight and narrow. Oh, Lord, humble us where we need to be humbled. Guide us, Lord, along this narrow path that goes ever upward. Lord, may none of us be found on the road to Dothan, to Egypt. That we would be condemned with the ungodly. Oh Lord, keep us from that. Put an earnestness in our heart, Lord, that you are coming and coming soon, and we need to be ready and sanctified. So Lord, we pray that you would bless this message, bless these thoughts. As we go our way here this morning, Lord, we pray that you would help us to purpose in our heart that we will be counted worthy of your grace. May you work that in each one of us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well,
it is well with my soul,
with my soul,
it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial shall come, let's
It's not always easy to bring something across that I feel sometimes that is, some would say, too negative, but we need to consider both sides. We need to be warned. So many times the Bible speaks about Paul warning them with tears night and day. There's dangers out there. And the greatest dangers are probably in the world. What the world presents. We can make all kinds of excuses why this is okay and that is okay, but if we're going to be found as like Lot in Sodom, don't expect a good judgment day. But we as a people of God, we're positive. We look for the truth. We look for the light, and that sanctifies us, separates us, and makes us useful in His kingdom. And that's where God wants us all to be. Separated for a holy purpose. That's true sanctification. So you separate yourself like Abraham, Joseph. God can use you and you will be counted worthy of His kingdom. That's something to live for. And in fact, that is probably the greatest thing that will give you purpose in life. When you die to self and serve Him. So may God make you a blessing to other people. May He have success in working that out in your life. Thank you for coming and taking part in this service. I believe there are brotherhood minutes in the back, or annual brotherhood meeting minutes. For all those who are members of this church, you can pick one up if you want there. Corny, if you want one, ushers will hand them out. Okay, thank you. Let's bow for the benediction. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. May He be with you.